For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, if you want to be healthy, there are certain things to do and certain things not to do. Now, having put on a bit of weight before the summer, I resolved to be a bit healthier. So I started doing a bit of exercise again, and I stopped eating so many chocolate bars. As a result, I'm in a lot better shape now than I was before. And the same goes spiritually. If you want to be healthy spiritually, there are certain things to do, and there are certain things not to do. The Apostle Paul wants to see churches that are full of healthy Christians. And here at the end of chapter 1, he tells us two things we need to stop doing. Firstly, he says, reject false teaching. And secondly, he says, reject false piety. Those are our two headings this morning, which we're going to spend our time thinking about. So firstly then, Paul says, reject false teaching. Please look down at verse 10 again with me. And Paul has just instructed Titus to appoint leaders for the churches in Crete. And now he explains why that's necessary. So here's the reason. For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Well, Paul had visited Crete, preached the gospel and planted some churches there. But then he'd moved on before appointing leaders for them. Now we might guess at the reason. Elsewhere he says that the appointment of leaders is a task that should not be hurried. Care should be taken to get to know potential leaders and ensure they're fit for the job. It takes time. And for some reason, Paul didn't have the time he needed. So he had left Titus in Crete to finish the job. However, it seems that in the absence of trustworthy leaders, a group of men had arisen who now posed a great danger to the churches in Crete. Now see how they're described in verse 10. There are many rebellious people, Paul says. The word translated rebellious literally means insubordinate. These are men who refuse to submit to authority, particularly to the authority of the gospel. It's the same word which was used to describe disobedient children in verse 6. So these men are behaving like rebellious children in their refusal to submit to the authority of the gospel. They think they're above it, that they know better. They're full of meaningless talk, Paul says. In other words, they have plenty to say, but it's all empty words. It's worthless. And worse still, it's deceptive. Those who listen to them are being taken in by lies and falsehood. There are plenty still today who claim to be Christian teachers, but who refuse to submit to the truth of the gospel. They think they're above it, that they know better, and they certainly have lots to say. But Paul's warning is clear, and we need to hear it. Any teaching about things of God which does not conform to the gospel is worthless and ultimately deceptive. And the consequence of listening to it is devastating. Paul says they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. Well, the word households here may mean families. But at this time, there was no such thing as a church building. There were no church buildings. Churches met in people's homes. So the churches in Crete were house churches. And Paul may well be saying here that these false teachers were disrupting whole churches. And their motives were entirely selfish. They were doing it, he says, for the sake of dishonest gain. They had no concern for people's spiritual well-being. Their only thought was for themselves. They were concerned only about their reputation, their following, and probably also their pockets. So Paul's warning us not to get taken in by false teachers because they don't care about us at all. They only care about themselves. And Paul's instruction to Titus is simple. They must be silenced, he says. They are dangerous and need literally to be muzzled. And not only must the false teachers be silenced, those who are being duped by them must be rebuked. Verse 12. One of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. Paul's quoting one of Crete's own poets, Epimenides. And he seems to think that this description is an accurate one, both of the false teachers and of those who are being taken in by them. Now, it's not a flattering one. It's a description of people who live only on the level of the physical and the material. They're like wild beasts. They're not displaying any spiritual awareness or discernment. They're lapping up all kinds of wrong ideas because it pleases them to do so. It appeals to them. So Paul says, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound, or literally healthy, in faith. And they need to be called to their senses for their own good, so that they will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. Well, the take-home message for us is very clear. Don't listen to any teacher who does not submit to the truth of the gospel. When we listen to false teachers who teach things they ought not to teach, we're placing ourselves in great danger. These are people who can ruin whole churches with their meaningless and deceptive talk. And they can certainly ruin us if we will allow them to. Paul says, don't listen to them. Now, the way to have a healthy faith is to reject false teaching, no matter how attractive or satisfying it may seem, no matter how much it may appeal. If it doesn't conform to the truth of the gospel, pay no attention to it. If you want to be physically healthy, then you probably won't smoke. Cigarette packets have emblazoned on them the warning that smoking kills. Cigarettes are not good for you. If you want to be healthy, then you'll have nothing to do with them. Likewise, if you want to stay physically healthy, then you won't have anything to do with drugs. If you inject heroin into your arm, it'll mess you up, both physically and mentally. And the same is true of false teaching. Paul's saying, pay no attention to it. It will mess you up. It will ruin you. Just because you read a book by an author who calls themselves a Christian, don't assume that it's reliable. It may not be, even if you've bought it from a Christian retailer. Just because you listen to someone speaking on the radio who calls themselves a Christian, don't assume that what they say will do you good. It may not do, even if it's a Christian radio station. Just because you watch a preacher on TV who calls themselves a Christian, don't assume that what they're teaching is true. It may not be, even if it's a Christian channel. Just because you read an article on the internet by a writer who calls themselves a Christian, don't assume that what it says is healthy. It may not be, even if it's posted on a Christian website. Just because someone wears a dog collar and has the word reverend before their name, don't assume that they submit to Scripture. They may not do, even if they're in the Church of England. The world is full of people who call themselves Christians, who are teaching things they ought not to teach. If you want to remain spiritually healthy, then test everything against the truth of the gospel. And if it doesn't conform to the plain teaching of Scripture, then pay no attention to it. Reject false teaching, Paul says. And secondly, reject false piety. Let's read on from verse 15. Paul writes, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So what were these men teaching then in this specific instance in Crete? Well, we don't know the precise details, but a few things are clear. For a start, back in verse 10, Paul describes these false teachers as those of the circumcision group. In other words, it seems that they wanted the Christians in Crete to subject themselves to the demands of the Jewish law, which required, among other things, circumcision. And verse 15 here suggests that they were concerned with making distinctions between things which were in their eyes pure and could be enjoyed and things which were impure and should be avoided. much as the Jewish law did. In other words, their idea of piety was tied up with observing certain rules. Well, there are two problems with that. Firstly, rules merely reduce godliness to a tick box exercise. So, for example, I might be a lazy glutton, as Epimenides claimed. But if I'm circumcised, well, then I can tell myself that I'm holy. Tick. I might be a liar and an evil brute. But if I don't touch alcohol or certain food or anything else that's regarded as impure, then I'm holy. Tick. In our case, I might be impatient and selfish. But if I go to home group every week, then I'm holy. Tick. I might shout and lose my temper. But if I read my Bible every day, then I'm holy. Tick. We can see the danger, can't we? Rules simply reduce godliness to a tick box exercise. They limit godliness to a few specific things that I can comfortably manage. And they keep us from striving for the all-encompassing whole of life godliness that God truly desires. And secondly, rules have no power to change us on the inside. It may sound very holy to live by a strict set of religious rules, but rules cannot change us on the inside. Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. But he goes on, to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In other words, what matters is not that an object or an activity is pure, but that I am pure on the inside. Now, the false teachers have got it the wrong way round. And their actions reveal that although they claim to know God, they don't know him at all. In fact, Paul says their minds and consciences are corrupted and they're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, our behavior is important. Paul wants churches to be full of people who do good works, as we'll see in the coming weeks. But a code of religious rules is not the way to achieve it. Now, I can be a strict non-drinker, keeping away from anything alcoholic, and yet still dip my fingers in the till at work. I can abstain from sex outside of marriage, yet still be violent and abusive. I can tithe my money, yet still cheat on my wife. See, it's very easy for us to construct a framework of rule-keeping to govern our Christian lives, thinking that it makes us more godly. I must not smoke, I must not drink, I must go to church, I must read my Bible, I must say my prayers, and so on. And rules can help control my behavior. And in some contexts, that might be helpful and sometimes even necessary. But rules cannot change me on the inside. Only the gospel of grace can do that. So reading the Bible, for instance, is an important and vital thing to do. But even reading the Bible won't automatically make me more godly. If I'm just going through the motions, not engaging with what's written, well, it's unlikely to do me much good. It's only as I humbly receive what God says to me in it that I open myself to its life-changing power. It's not that we enter the Christian life by grace and then grow as Christians through rule-keeping. It's that we enter the Christian life by grace and then grow as Christians as we allow the Holy Spirit to apply the gospel of grace to every area of our lives. Grace is what changes us on the inside and what produces godly living. Grace doesn't enslave us to rules. It doesn't simply say to us, don't do this or don't do that. Rather, it teaches us that there's a better way to live than to do this or that. So grace doesn't just say to me, don't get drunk. It says there's a better place to look for solace or self-confidence or relief than at the bottom of a bottle. And that's in the person of Jesus Christ. Grace doesn't just say to me, don't get angry. It says there's a better way to cope with the pressure and disappointment of a situation. And that's to trust that God is in control. See, as we grasp more fully who God is and all that he has done for us in Christ, and as we prayerfully allow that knowledge to change our hearts and minds, that's when we start to live the really good life that God intends in the home, in the church, and at work. In the next two chapters, Paul's going to tell us what the godly life looks like. But here, to begin with, he's telling us how to have it. Firstly, reject false teaching. Pay no attention to those who do not submit to the truth of the gospel. Test everything against God's word, the Bible. Listen only to those who hold firmly to it. And second, reject false piety. Disregard any form of godliness that relies solely on rules. Seek the inner transformation that comes only through the gospel of grace. And to stay fit physically, we might feed ourselves on what's nutritious and healthy. To stay fit spiritually, feed yourself daily on the gospel. Receive it deep within you as you read it and study it and meditate on it. And prayerfully ask God to apply it to every area of your life through the work of his Holy Spirit within you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we long to be healthy in faith and to live the good life that you intend for us. We're aware of the dangers around us of false teaching and false piety. Please protect us from them. Help us to avoid them. And help us to listen only to your voice as you speak to us in your word, the Bible. Please change us from the inside out and lead us in your good and perfect ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.